You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at bringdowntheband.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
We're now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7th, 1/4 of the crew. Jay Moore is in the building with the exclusive hockey jersey. I don't know. I can't read the patch, but I know it's something special. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. This is a Montreal Canadiens Winter Classic. Let's see. This is from 2011.
Okay.
Yeah, it is kind of exclusive. Like, if you looked for it, you couldn't get it.
Oh, okay. I see you stunting. I'm with it. Okay. My man DJ J Diff is in the building. I think he is rocking a Printfinity exclusive as well, if I can see the flames at the top. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir. Salutations. What's going on, Michael?
Looks pretty good, man. You make those, or how does that work?
I dibble a little bit, you know, Printfinity.
Okay. I know that company's one of the sponsors, so I figured I'd, you know, make sure we do what we're supposed to do and show a little love, but you know, the flame is definitely glowing. I can see that from here, brother. So appreciate you.
Thank you. It's going super saiyan.
Yes, sir. Live from the Bringing Down the Band headquarters where my lamp resides, my man Longevity. How are you, sir?
I'm great, man. We're going to have to start this over if you keep doing this. You're going to stop talking about my lamp, man.
You know what? I actually priced one, man, but I'm not going to tell you how much it costs. I Googled it and I found a replica, but I'm not going to tell you how much it costs. I'm just going to pop. One day it's going to pop up and it'll be in the background. We're just going to leave it at that.
Perfectly fine. You know,
you're not mad.
I'm glad that I can influence you to have great things in your life. You know?
Yes, sir, man. I did some Googling and I found something that is comparable or comparable, however you want to say it. I found one, so I might cop and just go ahead and shout the target and go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do.
You know, the funny thing is the lamp you're talking about is not the lamp in this shot. It's another lamp that's
they
like
don't
over here.
Yeah, I can't see it.
It's definitely a different lamp.
Yeah, they can't see it. It's cold though. You know, they can't see it. It's not that one in the back. I don't care about that one. But once I get my replica, it's on and popping. Appreciate y'all as always for rocking with us. Shout out to the chat. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, E, we see you. Branson Sachs, Akeem, I see you. I don't know where the usual suspects are. They might be a little late, but I'm sure they'll probably pop up a little later on. But we appreciate y'all.
Shouts to Dez and The Flood and D-Frog, Kendall Mathis, all y'all.
Yes, sir. Shout out to all of y'all as well. If I missed you, I apologize. We appreciate y'all for rocking with us going into the new year. Let's go ahead and jump into rundown. Is there anything? Let's see. Okay, yeah, we can go ahead and jump into the rundown. So I saw an article on HNHH, and it was regarding to the it was actually from the artist Polo G. He was talking about his relationship with his fans. He explains why it's risky to listen to fans or, you know, pay attention to certain constructive criticism or just anything that fans say. I'm going to read a passage as to what he said in an interview. Because one thing I've learned as an artist is you got to limit the amount of feedback you take in from fans. He said, because you can drive yourself crazy trying to please them. Just do you. And then he says, they will get used to a certain sound or flow and then ask you to go back to an old style that you used to rap. And then you'll be confused. He said, most of the super critics don't even be true rap fans because the core fan base is going to feel you no matter how you come or however you come up with your product. So I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because I know there are so many artists out here that thrive off their core fan base. Think about someone like Tech N9ne. Like, Tech N9ne is a legend on underground based off his fan base. He has a cult following, period. He can go anywhere. After all the COVID and stuff goes away, Emma's going to be able to tour and continue to do what he does. And I don't think he got that way by not listening, quote unquote, to his fans.
I think
from an artist, you think he did?
Yeah. Fans don't have anything to do with like how he makes his music and what he puts out and all that stuff. You know, fans.
So let me ask you this, Long.
Fans like him for him.
Let me ask you this, Lone. You be an artist. You'll be able to relate. How do you feel about what Polo G said? Like, do you think it's good to pay attention to your core fan base, or just do you and, you know, go with the punches that comes with it? Like, how do you feel about what he said?
No, I agree with him. I mean, okay. I don't think as an artist you should ever get a whole bunch of yes men in your quarter that rock with you and then just do kind of what they say, you know, like, if I'm not saying that doesn't mean that you can't listen to like what people are saying they like and don't like, but, you know, okay. if you're going to stay true to your artistry and the things that you're going to do, you know, people are going to rock with you when they rock with you. And then they're not when they don't like what you're doing. And so, I don't think you can let that dictate, your artistry. That is, if you are indeed doing artistry as opposed to just trying to follow what is the most relevant hot thing going on right now. You know what I mean? So, which I don't necessarily consider artistry. So that's the way I feel about it. But, you know.
So you don't think, you know, him saying that, you don't think there's going to be a pocket or a small pocket or a handful of fans that might feel a certain way based off what he said, regardless of what he said? You don't think so? Or does that even matter?
It doesn't matter. If they feel that way and they're going to get offended by it, then they can, you know, feel that way. That's their right as well. But his artistry and the things that he makes that brought those people to him in the first place, I mean, that's his, you know? I mean, of course, you share it with everybody, but... yeah, I mean, you can't please everyone, and once you go down that path, then you start to have to pick and choose like which people you listen to and all this other stuff. It's just like, nah, like you have your people in your corner, the people that are really in your corner as far as when you are creating, and you work with them, and then everything else is just kind of noise, in my opinion.
Okay, I can dig it. J-Div, jump in, man. What do you think about that fan relationship? Should artists pay more attention to what they say and constructive criticisms, et cetera, or should they continue to be free and do them but still embrace their fans?
I mean, at the end of the day, there's a reason why the artist has fans, and it's based off of them creating that that artist themselves, which is themselves, to, you know, make what fans want to hear. But at the same time, before he had fans, he was already doing what he was doing. So I don't see why you would have to necessarily change what you're doing based off of fandom. I can understand like hearing them out. I mean, because fans are part of the reason that you're here, you know, to keep you afloat.
But I don't think he's saying, you know, changing per se his product. I just think he's talking about the concept of actually even acknowledging, you know, what some of his fans have to say versus just being him and locking in as an artist. You follow me? I think he's.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, if you're constantly chasing what somebody else is telling you to do or wanting you to do, then in the same token, you're leaving out the people that are going to ride with you regardless. So there's no way that you're going to be able to balance that out. But the easiest thing to do would be to just tune it all out and let everybody that's going to be a part of the ride keep on moving. I mean, because you have artists like, I remember when Eminem used to get a lot of flack about his style, then he changed it on that recovery album, and they killed him. Then he went back to his original format, and they still had something to say. I mean, he's still an artist that's going to be successful regardless. But this is just an example of somebody that's trying to fit that mold of what the artist, or not the artist, what the fans want you to do, and they're still not pleased by it. So it's a slippery slope when it comes to trying to make yourself that accessible to people that you call your fans in order to dictate what kind of music or what direction you should go. Because at the end of the day, an artist being an artist, is out here to create, and you're supposed to take whatever they give you. You don't have to like it, but I mean, that's the artist in itself.
I can dig it. I can dig it. Daymore, jump in there, man. Talk about that relationship, man. Paying attention versus just being a creative and embracing, you know, who's going to rock with you moving forward.
Well, you know, Jay said it, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. You know, you want the old Jay, you know, go buy my old albums, you know. Mm. If you want Reasonable Doubt, Jay-Z, go listen to Reasonable Doubt, you know. Artists grow, you know, what you're doing one day, you know, it may not be even something that you feel the next day. I watched the Beastie Boys documentary on Apple TV. And, you know, what they did on License to Ill compared to basically everything else from the rest of their career is completely different. You know, from the time they made that album, in the time they were making that album, you know, they had grown up and they had different interest in what they wanted to do, to the point where, like, it just, you know, it got to a point where they didn't even perform the songs off of License to Ill.
Right.
Because that just wasn't the mind space that they were in. And, you know, a lot of people, they thought, they think they know you. You know, when they saw Fight for Your Right to Party, they thought that's who they were. And really, that song was made as a joke. And instead of people taking it as a joke, they thought, okay, these are the beer drinking frat boys that, you know, are just wilding out. And that's just who they thought they were. And they were like, they got tired of being these caricatures of themselves. And that's what happens a lot of times with artists is, you know, you'll show up somewhere and someone fell in love with a thugged out image of you from one point or another where you was wild, and they don't realize like you're a family man now and that you have, you know, interests that do not have anything to do with who you were 10 years ago. I'm not saying this for Polo G. I'm not that familiar with his music, but that could be, you know, where his mindset is at. Like, people want to grow up. And yeah, people want to experience new things and express new ideas. You know, if you're always trying to A&R somebody's record based off of a past sound or based off of what you want them to be, then you're always, you know, it'll probably stifle you as an artist because you're trying to appease people as opposed to actually creating art and, you know, be creative. You know, I think that's where a lot of artists are like, okay, well, this is what they want. They want to hear me be on some super soulful stuff. I might want to be thugged out, or the vice versa. I might want to be thugged out and talk about the streets, but, you know, they want to hear me talk about, you know, sunshine and waterfalls and butterflies and whatnot. I mean, I think that's what happens with a lot of artists, you know, and it goes. And the thing is, this is, I know what we've had this conversation before. I think the saddest thing is a lot of times it really rears its head with female artists, female hip hop artists, mm-hmm. to where, you know, what if Rhapsody wants to do some joints where she's partying? You know, everybody wants her, you know, people who are fans of her, you know, they want to hear her do, you know, deep conscious hip hop. You know, she, you know, I saw her in an interview. She said, I go to a party. I want to put my ass on somebody's son too. You know what I'm saying? I'm not mad at that. At the same time, you have, you know, part of the thing that might frustrate somebody like a Nicki Minaj or a Megan Thee Stallion is that, you know, and Megan touched on this on the end of her, you know, most recent project, is like, well, they're just here for me to talk about sex and shake my ass. So that's what I'm going to give them. It's almost kind of cynical way to see things. But, you know, this is the how artists get pigeonholed, because I don't want to say they shouldn't think about their public and their fans. But when you think about them too much to the point where you're not creating, then I think that's where, you know, a lot of times that's when you find yourself on the outside looking in, because you've thought too much about your, you know, what you did to make fans like you initially, and they may have moved on. They've grown up.
I think as a creative, you know, and we're all creatives in our own right. I think as a creative, you want to always leave it open. Like, the creativity, you want to always leave the options open for what you can do, cannot do. So, like, you know, if Lone and I are, you know, collaborating on something for Section Leaders and we're working on something, like, if somebody's just giving us multiple pointers or saying, you guys should do this or you guys should do that, I can't speak for him, but I've known him well enough to know to be like, wait a minute, whoa, chill. Like, this is our creative space. This is our process. This is what we do. You know, just let us live and be able to you know, grow as artists and do what we do. So I understand that part, because far be it from somebody to come into a session where I'm working on something to be like, hey, I think you should, or this or that. Like, I get that part, you know, but the actual relationship with the client, I'm thinking about if I'm working, relationship with the fan, you know, sometimes it can be fragile. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, with Polo G actually saying what he's saying, he's acknowledging that he's kind of torn, you know, but he actually learned, like, yo, I got to do me and just live with the results. Kind of like what Lone said. It's like, yo, I got to be me, and whoever wants to stick around and whoever wants to rock with me will. At the end of the day, I'll have a core fan base. That, to me, defines a core fan base. No matter what you do, you know, they're going to rock with you and support you. So, and if you pay attention to that and continue to move forward, I think that's dope. But I just found that interesting, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mo.
And even further, like, fan bases in general, they ebb and flow, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, even this show, we can take this show, for example. Like, so we typically have a handful of people that'll join us on the show, but maybe they won't join us for 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Right.
And then other people will come in, and then other people will leave. Then they'll come back when they want, or maybe they won't. I just watched a really cool, interesting a video on cancel culture that talked about the different ways that people pay attention to different types of influencers, and the difference between good and bad marketing, and sometimes how bad marketing is, or the perceived as bad marketing is, a lot of times better than good marketing by moral standards, right? And you know, everything does kind of move. And once you realize that you can't really control any of it at all, the only thing you can kind of control is how you attack things and the product that you put out, and, you know, making sure that what you're doing is what you want to do. And, you know, like, if Johnny from Missouri really wants us to make a bunch of trap beats, and then tomorrow Johnny from Missouri no longer really listens to us anymore, then who did we just make music for? You know what I mean? Like, it's like we have to pay attention to, like, what we want to do. We can listen to, you know, there's nothing wrong with listening and conversing and having conversations and all that good stuff, and you know, getting feedback and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it's important for all artistic endeavors for the creator in that position to be able to have a handle and to not lose themselves in the process of what others expect from them. So.
Yeah,
I'm with it.
I agree, because you can't actually even as an artist coming up, if you were sitting around waiting on somebody to tell you what to do all the time, you have never made it to the place that you're at now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when artists drop those projects that people don't necessarily vibe with or resonate with, it's something that they had to do to get out. You know what I'm saying? So they can move on to their next creative space. Because if you're an artist and you have a creative block, and this is what's coming to you right now, essentially you got to get it out. Whether you put it out or not, you at least got to get through that part and then move on to your next creative phase. So, I mean, that's with all artists in general, too. That's why a lot of times the greatest artists, none of their projects sound the same, because they're constantly going through these flows of creativity, which makes them an artist. So just something to think about.
Two albums that come to mind for me for that are the epitome of that are is 808s and Heartbreaks. That's one. And I'm trying to think what the other one was that would be a good example. Electric Circus. You know, like, those two projects to me were like, whoa. Okay, so now we're going completely left from the first, we'll call it, 2 or 3, 4 albums or whatever, right?
But you're still going to listen to the new. You're still going to listen to what they drop next, though.
I'm still going to listen to what they drop next. And I'm going to listen to the Curveball albums as well, because I had developed a bond with the artist. So it's like Electric Circus, but it wasn't like I wasn't trying to listen to it or I wasn't going to pay it. Like, I still was going to listen to it. You know what I'm saying? But it was one of those joints, like Terry said, that's a good point. You had to get certain things out and then continue to move forward. So, you know, those are two albums that come to mind with this whole conversation, because those are the ultimate curveballs when you talk about hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Kanye did 808s coming off of Graduation, I don't know if you can get more left than that. You know what I'm saying, based off what he did, or Electric Circus, which would have come off help me out. What was prior to Electric Circus?
It was
I'm tripping.
Like Water for Chocolate.
Like Water for Chocolate. That, thank you.
So, Lone came after it.
Don't know about Like Water for Chocolate. We love that album. Like, we got on the album at the
show. I love Electric Circus. So, I mean,
Electric Circus.
Yeah,
Electric Circus
actually aged fairly well.
I was sleep out the gate, and Common is one of my favorite rappers. Lona tell you that we used to play Common and Like Water for Chocolate like it was going out of style.
He got albums right now that are way worse than that.
I agree, 100%. I agree. I'm a Common fan. I agree 100%. But Electric Circus was not.
And those are rap albums.
Different. It was different at the time. At the time, you weren't different. Expecting it. Yeah.
No, because once again, it was that expectation. We thought, okay, Common's in his pocket now, and we're going to get, you know, like Water for Chocolate too. He's going to use that same formula for the next album, and he didn't. In fact, he didn't use any of the formulas from that album. And quite honestly, I always liked Electric Circus. I remember also I saw the Electric Circus tour. I know it sounds weird, but it's almost like if you saw the Electric Circus tour, you were going to love the album that much more. It was going to make sense to you. You know,
I just thought it was ahead of its time.
It was just something. And the thing is, that's where because Talib Kweli opened up for him, and this unknown dude named Kanye West got to touch the stage during that same Electric Circus tour. And it was funny. Like, I remember the venue I was at called the Pageant in St. Louis. Like, Kanye West was just walking around trying to get people to notice him. Like, he wasn't, you know, he was on his flip phone with his rock.
That was like right. That was like right before. That was right before College Dropout came out too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, people knew him as a producer. Me and my man Brian, we were like, oh shoot, there goes Kanye West. But it was not like people were running up on him at the time, because at that point, oh yeah, he's the guy who did some production for Jay-Z and Beanie Siegel.
Right.
Yeah, like he was, like, you ever listen to Little Brother tell that story about how they did I See Now. Like, they were hype about seeing a Rockefeller chain. Like, they were at a music conference or something like that, and he wasn't Kanye yet. Like, they played him College Dropout and all that type of stuff. So that's a good story, Jay Moore. I didn't think about that. That's real. But nah, man, like, it's, you know, the fan relationship with the artist is something that can be, you can dissect that shit for days. But no, shout out to Polo G for actually putting that out there in the atmosphere. Good conversation, good talk. Let's go ahead and go to the next joint. This is it's a little bit lighter. Excuse me. So, Freddie Gibbs, Joe Budden was on his podcast, Joe Budden Podcast with Rory Amal. He was talking about, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the conversation came up about Freddie Gibbs versus CL Cool J and whatever the possibilities would be. And Joe Budden was like, be clear, don't get it twisted. Like, LL got that smoke, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he put that work in on Freddie Gibbs. So Gibbs actually called in, you know, and was, you know, talking about how LL is a legend. He was like, no fucking way. This is what he told Budden. He said, no way, me and LL did not have any beef. He said, how can I beef with LL Cool J? He's one of the greatest of all time, one of the founders of hip hop. Budden referred to Gibbs as pussy when he said that. And he suggested he took it a little far. And then Gibbs was like, be clear. You know, there's a reason why nobody has battled me. Because Joe Budden was like, you don't ever get any battles. And Gibbs was like, be clear. There's a reason why nobody ever wants to battle me. But I love LL. I made some jokes about him, poked some fun at him. But at the end of the day, he's an OG. So, I say that to say, LL is very hip hop. I'm talking about, if you say something about him, like, fan will respond. He's responded to people throughout the years. It's on the popping if you get out of pocket with him. We know Freddie Gibbs' personality. He always clowning on his IG was one of the coldest ones ever until they kicked him out. So, I still think they need to bring him back.
He just moved it over to Twitter. I guess he's on Twitter and watch his fleets.
It don't hit the same, though. It don't hit the same like the IG to me.
It's the exact same. It's the exact same.
Does it? You think it hits the same? Maybe I don't be on Twitter like that.
It hits the exact same.
Okay, fair enough. I don't be on Twitter like that, so I'll take your word for it. But as in regards to this battle possibility, quote unquote, or whatever would happen, Joe Budden was not backing down. Like, be careful, man. You'll mess around and get watched by LL and his 50s. What do y'all think about the possibility of this? If we just was going to have some fun and be like Gibbs and LL was going to battle, like, what do y'all think about the possibilities of this? And is there a chance that Freddie Gibbs could actually get washed by early 50s LL, a battle concept? J-Diff, I'm coming to you first, man. What you think, man? Just overall, what do you think about the possibilities of this?
I won't go out on a limb and say that Freddie Gibbs will get washed necessarily.
Okay.
By LL Cool J.
Okay.
Right. LL Cool J is in that realm of battle rapping or diss rapping, whatever you want to call it, and he's pretty good at it. I mean, we haven't heard him do it in 20 years, at least.
We'll get long started.
Who has LL Cool J dissed in 20 years?
I don't know, man. Last time I thought
anybody
he,
I can think of.
He did. What? Who did he just battle? Where he was crying? Was it like?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh wait,
don't
he wasn't that. Battling. He was battling the United States, I think. You remember he did that acapella a little while ago?
Oh, God. Oh yeah, I do remember
disrespect.
That. Yeah.
But
okay. Disrespect.
No.
So
but
bad.
It was no. That, thing that is, ain't. It was. Yeah, it was battle-esque. But it was battle-esque. But that wasn't a battle.
See?
Yeah, that was more message rap type shit, but.
Yeah.
I mean, you can never, somebody that's a skilled MC like LL Cool J, you can never take that away from him, especially putting him in his element to rap against somebody.
Yes, sir.
Now, Freddie Gibbs, his edge.
Rap his ass off.
Is he can definitely rap his ass off, but he knows how to take it to social media. He's very gifted at being able to drag somebody on social media. Mm-hmm. And in today's day and age, that would probably be a category. You know what I'm saying? A lot mm-hmm. of these rap battles didn't have social media involved in it. And when you got someone like Freddie Gibbs that's a bully and he's not going to back down on social media and he's going to make you laugh and get some chuckles out of some people, that in itself is going to be an element of that battle. So there's no way that LL Cool J could wash Freddie Gibbs. Even if he beat him in the rap portion of the whole battle,
okay.
I think Freddie Gibbs would be able to pull some out of his pocket to still make it look like he has the edge over LL Cool J as far as that's concerned.
Okay. All right. Joe Budden was confident. Like, be clear. Oh, be careful. Be careful what you ask for. Oh, what you think, man? I know you were excited about.
I'm gonna let Jay respond first. I'm gonna let Jay respond first.
Dag on it. I was ready, man. I was ready. Jay Moore, talk to me, man. Be respectful, man. Be respectful.
No, I mean, because they made it seem like, you know, if it was a versus between LL and Freddie Gibbs, yes, Freddie Gibbs is gonna get washed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love Freddie Gibbs, but you talking about somebody that's had hits from the 80s. You know, through what, 3 and 4 decades and been on records. Like, you're not going to, there are a lot of people that don't want LL who are in his category and been in, you know, in his same situation. You
talk
know,
that talk,
I mean,
J-Boy.
As far as
talk
maybe
that
doing
talk.
Like as far as somebody doing like a, what, like a Smack DVD or, you know, some, like, I think Freddie would get him just because Freddie's, you know, His sword is sharper, you know, because this is what he does. You know, LL has, I mean, he's already put his time into the game and now he's getting that real Hollywood money. He's not thinking about battling.
It's got nothing to do with accidental racism, man. It's got nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that.
I think the conversation, I mean, like, because I listened to that conversation, I think it was more in jest, you know, but okay. Freddie likes to just get at people, you know, on the internet if he sees them do something. He, you know, that's just his thing. And you know, I don't even know if LL knows, you know, knows about what Freddie Gibbs does, or for lack of, I don't know if he cares. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't see that tweet where he was like, "I'm trying not to go in on homeboy." You didn't see that? Who else would that be about?
Oh, I mean,
I didn't see that.
You just don't know. I mean, LL has quietly got into it with so many people who said anything slick about him that it could be anybody. But I just thought it was funny. Like, I thought that whole conversation between Gibbs and funny. That's what I took it as. I didn't take it as anything serious as far as doing a versus or actual rap battle. None of that is ever going to happen ever. I mean, shout out to Gibbs. I hope he wins the Grammy. I hope
too.
Him and Nas win the Grammy. That'd be a good look.
I do too. I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Come on. LL Cool J versus Freddie Gibbs. You got to just take that as jokes.
So Jay Moore, tell me this then, and you know, I'll go to loan. This is all I need. Got your stimulus check, man. Who you betting on? You betting on Gibbs or you betting on LL? That's all I need to know.
In what capacity?
Battle rap. Social media included and all that. Who you putting the stimulus check on?
Like I said, I put it on Gibbs just because this is what he does. Like, he's still putting out rap albums. This is what he does. Okay. He's probably, he raps every day. This is his thing, you know. Just like if you said, okay, you got your stimulus check, who are you going to put it on in the acting realm? I'm putting it on LL Cool J. You know, I mean, because that's what he does every day.
That was low-key disrespectful, but I ain't going to do that.
What you do every day.
You know? That was low-key disrespectful, now, but I ain't going to do that.
You know, if it was LL, you know, Walking with the Panther LL versus Freddie Gibbs, I might have to go on and take, you know, we talking about Bigger and Deffer LL, when he was just out there making other rappers from the previous generations feel old.
I knew this was going to happen.
That's a whole different story.
J. Diff, listen to me, man, before I go it alone. Stimulus check. Freddie Gibbs, LL Cool J. You got one bet. You're at the casino. I just need who you going to pick. That's all I need.
I mean, like I said before, if you add in the whole element of social
brother,
media,
I don't need all the extra stuff, this, brother. I don't need all the extra
because
stuff,
this is 2021, Jack. This 2021 is different. Shit's different out here now.
Go ahead.
If you add that into it,
okay,
Gibbs wins off the social media shit. But I'm not gonna sit there and say that. He can get with LL lyrically like that. I can't see it. I'm sorry. See it.
Yep.
I mean, he can rap his ass off, but y'all must have forgot that LL is no punk when it comes to somebody trying to get at him, though.
No, Lone forgot. I didn't forget. Lone is the one that forgot.
Who's to say that he has not been polishing his lyrical stature behind closed doors just because he ain't dropping shit? I mean, you said, you keep campaigning about him dropping this shit with Q-Tip.
I didn't laugh at it. Lone laughed at it. I didn't laugh at it.
I said you keep campaigning. I didn't say about laughing.
Okay. I'm going to continue to laugh at him holding the guitar and the guitar album with Q-Tip. I will laugh that to the bank.
They both did look like Sith Lords, but... Yeah, I don't know, man. If you ain't factoring in social media, LL Cool J can win that rap battle. If you factor in it being 2021 and Gibbs can use his social media platform, Gibbs is going to win.
Lone, talk to me, man. I know this excites you, especially the guitar album, the possibility of the guitar album. So talk to me, man. Who you putting the stimulus check on and just how you feel about it overall? You can talk about the guitar album as well if you want.
No, I don't want to do that. I think... this is an interesting battle because as much as I love Freddie Gibbs' music and as much as he likes to proclaim that he's this one of the greatest lyricists ever, I don't think that he I don't think that in a battle realm with the way and style that he raps, like the fast style that he raps, he's just going to say a bunch of words. Like, I feel like if you're battling one-on-one back and forth, LL's going to eat him.
This is the analysis I was looking for. Okay.
LL's going to eat him up. If we're talking about who's going to make the better song, Freddie's going to make the better song.
Mm.
If we're going to talk who's going to clown more, Freddie is going to, you know, it's not even close. It's definitely Freddie. But as far as like battle back and forth, I've never seen Freddie battle. And as much as I enjoy his music, a lot of what he writes is kind of nonsensical. And let me clarify that a little bit. Okay. A lot of his raps are just freestyle raps, meaning that he's just saying a bunch of really cool, clever shit. Even the last album that he put out with Madlib was like that. And it was a great album, but you can tell when you're listening to it, like he's got small little pieces in there where he's piecing stuff together. But like, I feel LL would be way more focused. And I'm not even an LL fan. So, you know. And I am.
I know,
a
that's
fan.
Why. I'm, that's why. I'm,
and I and I'm a Gibbs fan. So, that's my take. You know,
That is why I'm shocked. That is why I'm interested in your answer because of what you just said. I know how you are when it comes to LL. Shout out to Pete Sake. He's the same way. But Freddie Gibbs is dope. Like Freddie Gibbs is gonna keep it a buck. He's going up a lot of people's all time list when you talk about, you know, what he's done and his consistency. Say what you want, but the boy put out good product. He can rap his ass off. So the
concept is interesting. Obviously.
The concept is interesting, but
guess who else could rap their ass off?
Oh, here we go.
Guess who else could rap their ass off? Cannabis could rap his ass off.
He could.
And he got bodied by LL Cool J.
You want to know something, though? I'll tell you this, though. I think Freddie Gibbs is a better rapper than Cannabis overall. You can quote me on that.
Cannabis showed up to a battle with a
and Cannabis is cold. What'd you say?
Cannabis didn't cheat. He show up to a battle with like a whole like a notebook or something like.
Yeah, like I wrote a book about that shit, and they on his head about it too.
The Cannabis. So I remember videos of that. I was like, "What happened to Cannabis? Like, fam, you showed up. This is a freestyle battle, and you got a notebook full of like." Let's not get on Cannabis. We're
going to leave Cannabis alone because we was on Capadonna last week. We're going to leave the OGs alone.
The whole thing is he can rap his ass off.
He had it coming. He can. But yeah. Gibbs
make, had it coming with that monkey what, pit.
What separates Gibbs, though, is Gibbs will make records and make, you know, we know that. But I thought that was interesting, man. I like that Joe Buttons was
records.
Maybe he was trolling, but.
Records though,
yeah, that whole thing was trolling. Records. That was just
he makes
was,
records.
I
like
I didn't think that was
records
even
long records.
Yeah, it might it's probably just a joke, but I mean, but like Gibbs makes records. Like
he does.
Me imagining Freddie Gibbs going on stage and battle rapping, he raps the same on everything. He's got the tough. Same. I mean, I like Gibbs, but he has the same essentially the same delivery on everything. You know, so. I don't know, man. Like broken down.
Be nice with it, man. It'd be very interesting. But like Terry says, I'm
what
not,
does Gibbs do when Accidental Racist comes on?
See, can we go ahead and get to the partners, man? Because I'm not about to do this.
This is not I'll a versus anymore. They can't do a
I'm
versus.
Not about, I'm not about to do
gets
this.
His bag and he just starts rapping Accidental Racist. What are we going to do?
Here's what Gibbs would do. Here's what Gibbs would do in a versus LL. He would play as one of his songs, Accidental Racist. That's what Gibbs would do.
Long.
That's the type of shit.
Yeah, he probably would do some shit like he'll it'll definitely be in his fleet.
Long, let's go ahead.
Hey, why people ain't mad? Speaking of Freddie Gibbs, why people ain't mad that Freddie Gibbs got banned from Instagram? As mad as the people are that Trump got banned from every goddamn thing. Why they ain't
you
mad
know
about
why?
Freddie Gibbs, I'm upset he got banned from Instagram. Yeah, Boosie too. I'm upset.
Or Farrakhan for that matter.
Look, the same way they're not, those same people weren't upset that Talib Kweli or Louis Farrakhan got their Twitter completely snatched from them. So you know why.
Long, before right, we go up the ramp, let's go ahead and shout out our partners because Jay Moore was headed towards the ramp. Let's shout out our partners real quick before we get to the last topic.
Yeah, let's do that. And before I go any further, I have to say one more thing though.
Yes, sir.
Me being extra critical and breaking down the difference between Gibbs and LL does not mean that they're not both dope MCs. I feel like I have to say that.
Facts.
And
thank you.
And that this is because I was extra critical, but
we love Gibbs.
It is what it is.
We love LL. Yeah.
Oh yeah, partners.
We'd like to thank our partners for the new Old Heads podcast. No Bad Ideas Clothing Company, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, Sun King Brewery, and the hub for all things new old heads, bringingdowntheband.com. Remember, once you type Bringing Down the Band in the search bar on YouTube and the page populates, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And as always, we thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Back.
All right, so shout out to our partners. We appreciate you all. Let's go ahead and get to our last topic before we get out of here. Shout out to the chat. Looks like Corporate Cole is in the building. See you. I think she's the only addition we've been rocking so far. So Corporate Cole, we see you. All right. So Double XL had a couple lists that popped up. I thought that was interesting. And it says, I'll read the titles and we can kind of talk about them real quick before we get out of here. It says, these are the best debut hip hop albums of all time. This is per Double XL. I'll go through some of the lists. My goal with you guys is to see if we're forgetting anything, if there's anything that we are missing. So we got 50. Oh, do you want me to share my screen? You want to try that? See if I can share my screen or do you, I can try it. You know how that goes, but.
Yeah, just give me the link. It'll actually look better if I, just because I'm broadcasting. So just right, drop the link in the chat or something.
All right, let me send you the link real quick. So that way, because I know we did this with last time. Let's see. Sorry about that. Y'all stay with us.
Or in Discord or wherever. Don't matter.
Yeah. I sent it to you personally.
All right.
Like that. And then there's the
50. These are the best debut hip hop albums. All right.
Sophomore Slump as well. I'm sending you that one. So I sent you both. So XXL has a list of the, these are the best hip hop albums of all time that are debut albums. So I want to scroll through these. My thing is, I think the list is legit, but I feel like there may be something that's missing. That's, you know, my point of conversation. And also for the chat as well. Long, you got it? You ready?
Yep, whenever you're ready.
Put my watch stream on. All right, so we have 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. I'm not mad at that. That, to me, that's a no-brainer. I'm not mad at that. That works for me. Long, if you could scroll. College Dropout, Kanye West. I don't think we'll get any arguments from there. If anybody's in the chat that says different, let us know. Doggy Style by Snoop. No argument from me. We're good there. That's legit. Chronic, no brainer. Shout out to Dr. J. I hope he's getting better. This one is a classic. Let's see. Eric B. and Rakim, Paid in Full. I'm not mad at that. Any hesitation on that? Or I'm good. I'm not mad at it. Anybody got anything to say about that?
You kind of hesitated a little bit.
Yeah. No, I'm good with it.
Hesitated, man.
I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I'm not mad at it. I'm good with it. If that's the case, we can keep going. Let's see. Reasonable Doubt, no brainer. Now,
Lil Kim, Hardcore.
Here's where it gets a little shaky for me. I remember the source. I remember this era. This album is dope. I don't know if this album should be in list as in regards to the albums that have been listed prior to this one. To that, y'all say what? Because it's dope. I don't know if it's in Lil Kim, Hardcore. I don't know if it's in the echelon with Reasonable Doubt and Doggy Style and all that. I don't think it's there. To that, you say,
no, they're just doing this because they got to have a woman in there.
Okay.
They're just trying to make it,
Okay. I was just asking.
Cool album.
I
know.
Is Missy's album in here?
You're about to keep scrolling. But
Super Duper Fly in here?
Well, let's see. First, Illmatic.
No brainer.
It's Straight Outta Compton.
No brainer.
Straight Outta Compton technically wasn't their first album, but.
Right. Outkast. It was next.
Yeah, Southern Playlist.
Yeah, definitely.
No brainer. Scarface.
Of the Ghetto Boys.
I'm not mad at that. Oh,
I think that's a great album, but you know, it's not. I don't know if I'd be like, oh yeah.
Wait a minute, Long.
I'm with you on that one. I wouldn't say that. As far as being a debut album,
okay,
that was like super dope or in the same realm.
It's really dope. Okay, y'all might have a point with that one. I'm gonna stay indifferent on that one. I'm gonna stay out the way on this one. But y'all might have a point on
and
that.
I'm versed on that album too. And yeah, it wasn't Doggy Style.
Okay. Or cool.
This album, Ready to Die. Yeah, definitely.
No question.
I remember walking
through
high school with that shit bumping in my headphones.
No, Ready to Die is legit. We good there. Is that the last one, Long?
36 okay. Chambers, of course.
Brainer, I'm good with that.
UGK.
There we go.
Debut album.
Okay, let's stop here for a minute, Lau. I'm riding dirty. I love riding dirty. I think this album, if I'm not mistaken, I'm showing my age because I can't remember. Is this the album that had Pocket Full of Stones on it or no? Am I tripping?
No. I don't think this one had Pocket Full of Stones on it.
All right. Okay. So I'm asleep. What you think about this one? Jay Moore, talk to me, man. Jay Diff, talk to me. I know alone your UGK game wasn't as high until later, but what y'all think about this one, man?
No, it was on that album. It was on this album.
I thought Pocket Full of Stones was on this one, if I was not mistaken. But
nah, you know. It was on this one.
All right, so what y'all think about this, man? Is this in that Reasonable Doubt, Doggy Style, the album Ready to Die, the albums that we've named? Are these albums peers or no?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, you know, when we talk about those other albums, we're talking about Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You know, they use the same, you know, just like when they talk about sports, some people deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, this is in the Hall of Very Good.
This album is dope, but I don't know if I put it on the level of Reasonable Doubt, Doggy Style, all those.
It's in that Donovan McNabb category.
I'm not mad at that.
Because the follow-up, Super Tight, was better than this album, in my personal opinion.
Not mad at that. This album is cold, though, so don't get it twisted. Don't be in the comments talking about we hating. We're just comparing it to other great albums. Ah, okay. A La Soul, Three Feet High, and Rising. I think this is good to go. Is there any questions on this one? I think this one's good to go.
Not for me. I think this is definitely Hall of Fame. This is not even up for debate. Well, not for me. I know we got some regional differences and some age differences, but I remember when this came out, it was groundbreaking.
It was that shit.
It was groundbreaking, and it was good, and it was popular. Usually you don't get all three of those things.
So let me ask y'all this before we go to the next. True. There's one more piece of this that I want to talk about, but before
that
we
was
go
the
to
end
that,
of the list.
Yeah, because there's two parts. There's another
hold
part.
On, see. Hold on.
They're missing some.
Because what I want to ask you is
the list though.
Uh huh.
What I'm saying real quick though, with that being the end of that list, there's no way what's her name? Lil Kim should have been on there.
Thank you.
There's no way that should have been on there.
Thank you.
And as much as I love UGK, there's no way that the UGK album should have been on there.
There we go.
If you're going to put, how do you put album over A-Ball and MJG?
Space 8?
What was that album where they had when they had the Lexus?
Oh, you talking about
on the cover?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I can't call the name of it. That's how old I'm getting. If you're in the chat, tell us which one we're talking about. I know what you're talking about. But even with that,
if that's the end of that list, nah.
J-Diff, I don't even know if that A-Ball or MJG is on that Reasonable Doubt Doggy Style level, though. I don't think so. I love A-Ball and MJG, but I don't even think that album is
up there. Say that again?
I don't think the album A-Ball, that you're... MJG? Yeah, I don't think it's up there with the ones that have been mentioned.
No,
it's not.
It's not. But I'm saying if it's a list of nine, they didn't even make it 10 to even it out. If it's nine albums, and that's where you stop at, and then Lil Kim is your female MC that you want to add.
Yeah,
you didn't put Missy Elliott's first album on there. Shit,
I'd put that on.
I would have took Black. I would have took Black Rain from Latifah.
Queen Latifah, definitely over that.
I'd have took Black Rain.
That wasn't her debut.
Yeah.
That's
to Jay Moore's point, you're right. So I stand corrected. So real quick, before we go to the next list, is there anything? Are there any albums that jump out to y'all? Just give me one if you have it, real quick. That was not on the list that should have been appear for this list. What's another album that you can think of that's like, yo, it's good enough to be in the conversation with the rest of the albums that were listed on this debut album list?
All for One by Brand Nubian.
Okay.
And America's Most Wanted by Ice Cube. I'd have put that on there before I put Straight Outta Compton on.
Okay. Definitely. Okay. Lone, you got one?
I haven't been thinking. I've been doing other things. I would say, what about Eminem's first album?
Okay.
I know that.
That's fair.
I know that wasn't necessarily his first overall project, but it was a really good album.
I'm gonna throw a curveball at y'all. I'm gonna say the documentary by The Game. I'm gonna say that's in there.
Yeah, that's a good ass album.
That's a good album.
I would. Yeah.
I think that's legit. I think that's legit enough to be in the conversation.
Good Kid, Mad City.
There we go. That's another one. Lone, let's pull up the other list. The second list I sent you from XXL.
What was Tribe's first album? Was it that Instinctive Travels and Paths? Or was
that the first one? Yep. Midnight Marauders for me is their album, though. That's the one that I put up against anything. But for what you're talking about, that album was cold, too. That first album was cold. That album was cold.
You sent me
this. Hey, on the low, though, I know y'all probably ain't going to agree with this shit, but Ludacris' first album was kind of dope. His first album.
Not with these.
No, we're saying first albums, though. First albums with Buzz.
I got you. That's fair. Yeah. Chicken and Beer?
I'm not saying it's dope. Chicken and Beer was his first album.
Not Chicken and Beer. I'm old. His first album was
Technically, it was Incognito, but back for the first time.
Back for the first time. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, back for the first time. Official.
You sent me a weird link to Vogue's Anna Wintour admits she got lost in the basement at Kanye West MSG event.
That's what you've been reading.
See, I must have been in let me send you this one. Got this one long. I just sent you another one.
Yep, that's different.
You got it? So the next one I sent alone is from XXL. It says, these hip-hop albums prove that there are no such thing as a sophomore slump. So let's see. Make sure I get my screen.
French Montana. What? All right, hold on.
I'm still trying to think of my first album.
This is XXL pretty much saying that there's no such thing as a sophomore slump, and here's why. So let's see. Lone, I got you. Now I'm clocked in. So Travis Scott, if I'm not mistaken, it's
Birds in the Trap Sing.
Ignite. Okay. I'm gonna keep it a buck. I'm cool. I do not know. I'm probably missed it. It's all right. Missed that.
You didn't get the memo on that one.
I missed the memo. Yeah. I got the Astroworld memo, but I didn't get that one. Drake, Take Care. Now I got this one. The album was dope.
A mixtape? Was this a mixtape?
Dropped
a whole bunch of
mixtapes. Thank Me Later was before this one. Album. Yeah, because Thank Me Later came out before this one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think this is a go. Iggy, Life After Death, no brainer to me.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no brainer. T.I. Trap Music. That's a good album. That's a good sophomore album. Yep, I'm not mad at that. 21 Savage, I Am versus I Was. I'm sleep, so I ain't gonna front. But you say, Terry, you say this is legit?
Yeah, that's a good album.
Okay, I'm sleep on this one. I ain't gonna front. I'm sleep. There we go. Low End Theory, no brainer.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
I listen, but I'm not gonna front and say I'm not familiar. So
people really liked this album when it came out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that it's on the list.
There we go. Hell Have No Fury.
Clip's first album. That's another good one. Clip's first album.
Grinding was trash though to me in college. I ain't gonna front. But
Ryan,
I know that was
definitely not trash.
I didn't like it, man. I'm sorry. I didn't like it. But
if we got albums like Hell Hath No Fury on here.
See, this one is more interesting. And
Low End Theory. I'm not sure like a Control System belongs on here or an I Am I Was belongs on here. Like Trap Music does. You know, like there's definitely levels. Like,
see,
it's to Jay Moore's Hall of Fame.
But they're saying second album wasn't a failure.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we're going to grade it differently based off of what we came up and the shit that we listened to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I mean, it's accurate.
Dre 2001. I'm not mad at that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, that shit was
If it's just if it's just proving the point,
we're just going to act like that first Aftermath album doesn't happen.
Don't
we're just going
don't do that, Jay Moore.
From the
don't
Chronic
do that.
To the 2001
don't
album.
Do that. Don't do that.
No, I mean, in this conversation, we must do that because you're right, because that is a Dr. Dre album.
Yeah, because Dr. Dre albums are compilation albums. All of his albums are compilations.
They're not compilations.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
No, they're not. All of his albums are not compilations albums. No, they're not.
All of Dre's Chronic is not a compilation.
No, they're not a compilation.
How is it not a compilation album?
The Aftermath is a compilation album. That's the Chronic is not a compilation album. Don't do that. It's not a compilation album.
I don't know. Depends on who you ask. I mean, because he had a handful of artists on all of them albums, right?
Nah. Aftermath is a compilation album, in my opinion.
Dre didn't rap on every song. He didn't rap on every song.
The Aftermath album is a compilation album. No. Not at all.
That's a certified compilation album, definitely. But technically...
Don't do that.
All of Dr. Dre's albums are compilation albums.
Keep scrolling.
Even the last one that just came out was...
Now that's more of a compilation album if you want to talk about it. But the Chronic or the first two Chronics, no. Those aren't compilation albums. Don't do that.
The Fugees? Right. The Score?
I'm not mad at that.
That's a solid-ass album.
That album was great.
First album was terrible.
See?
No, I mean, for real, remixes saved that first Fugees album.
I don't fool with Pride.
If it was today, they wouldn't even been able to make a second album.
I don't fool with Pride, so I'm with you. Like, any album that has Pride on it can't really be the greatest of all time, but The Score is damn good. Like, they held him up because Pride is trash to me. Get your paper, though, if you
got
there.
Who is that?
Gunna.
I don't know. I can't even say I listened to that album, so I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, I'm asleep. I'm old on this one. I apologize. I'm old on this one. I'm sorry. Late registration. Okay.
Yep.
That works.
Yeah, that's fact. You know what's missing? Good Kid, M.A.A.d City. So are they classifying Section 80 as his first album?
Yeah, Section 80 is the first album. Yep.
Okay, so you can go either way. Section 80 or Good Kid, M.A.A.d City. Whoever want to claim either one of them, one or two. I mean, you can't lose either way.
Section 80 is brilliant. Yeah. Section 80 is brilliant. So I'm not mad at that. Let's see.
Lil Uzi Vert.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm asleep.
The Cool. That would be the album I was looking for right here.
The Cool. If The Cool ain't on here, then this whole list is washed because The Cool was cold.
We should have talked to me about The Cool, though.
Yeah, food and liquor should have been on the first list.
You're right.
Because you hard pressed to be about the Cool. You hard pressed to be. Food and liquor is like genius to me. Like, it's hard to beat that album, man, as a first album. But The Cool, when you think about all the characters that he did and you know how he broke it down, this album is brilliant. Like, this album is brilliant.
And you know what? And his first album got a song right now that definitely resonates with everybody right now called American Terrorists, because they definitely exist.
Talk to him. Jay-Z, talk to him. Yep. Talk to him. All right, man. I'm sorry I got hype off The Cool.
Keep it moving.
It Was Written?
No Brainer. Yeah, no brainer.
Yep. That goes.
Wow. One of my
automatic systematic.
In my top 5 to 10 albums of all time, hip hop for me.
They called it Aliens.
It's above my head on every show. They're super tight. That's there what we I was go. Just talking about.
Super tight. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Super tight. High Dolla Sign. Beach House 3.
Okay. Apologize, y'all. I'm sleeping.
Yeah, that's a good album. I've heard it. That's a good album.
Slim Shady. Now this album is cold. Slim Shady.
Infinite. Infinite is number one.
Yeah, they use Infinite as his debut, which it technically was.
This is the album I got. This is the album I got put on to Eminem. Though this is the one that put me on.
Yeah.
Yeah, this album is cold. Is that it? Okay. So
yeah, that list was a little more accurate than the first list.
So I'll do like I did on the first one before we get out of here. In terms of the sophomore albums, did they miss anything that is glaring? Just off the top of your head, like, is there anything that they missed that is glaring? Because there's one
Wu-Tang Forever
talking about. Thank you. Yes. He beat me to it. Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang forever. I don't know how that's not on the list. Wu-Tang forever.
How do they not have The Roots? Do You Want More?
Okay.
Cube wasn't on there either. I see Nicole just said was Cube on there. Cube was not on there. And Cube
did not have Death Certificate on there.
Cube had four straight classic albums. I don't care what nobody say.
Hey, Wu-Tang Forever is the one I was waiting on.
This is the biggest omission on that sophomore slump. Nation of Millions by Public Enemy. How is that not on there?
Wow. Okay. Okay. Now we're getting into it. Okay. Okay. That's tough. Yeah. That's tough.
What's Busta Rhymes' second album? It was
Extinction Level Event.
Event, wasn't it?
No, that's three.
The Coming was first, and then it was When Disaster Strikes.
When Disaster Strikes. Oh, yeah.
When Disaster Strikes was dope.
Yeah.
Shout out to, let's see, I had to scroll back up. Somebody in the chat said, okay, it was Kendall Mathers. The Coming, in terms of debut albums. I forgot about that. Good call. I definitely forgot about that. He said Jazzmatazz. I forgot about that. I wouldn't put Jazzmatazz up there with the rest of the ones that we named, but the coming can go up there. Like I would have replaced The Coming, Lil' Kim with The Coming if it was me. I'd have put that up there. It's my personal opinion.
A lot of things could have swapped out that Lil' Kim album though. So
yeah, Lil' Kim wouldn't even make the top 10 cut for me.
I swapped out Il Nana with the Foxy Brown's first album before we put the Lil' Kim in there.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, you know what else? The DLC. The DLC's first and only album was Cold-Blooded.
Tough. That's a good point. Shout out to Corporate Cole hating on the death certificate. I'm not surprised. Good Lord. Bless her heart.
Not. She's saying no death certificate means that the list is trash.
Oh, I was about to say. Good Lord. Me down there for a second.
You know she got more sense than that.
I do.
You ain't giving her enough props.
I was looking for beef.
Anybody to say Death Certificate is whack as an album?
Yeah, I was looking for beef right there. I played it right there. I apologize. That album's great. I don't think we forgot. I don't think we missed.
I just got to be careful not to go to the underground because the underground isn't.
Please go to the underground. If it's worth it, go to the underground.
I mean, if we're talking about debut albums, Blue and Exile is Below the Heavens.
Hey, okay.
Now,
hey,
now, granted, that's
debut albums.
I mean, we talk the listening.
Most Deaf, Black on Both Sides.
Or before that, we could say Black Star.
Black Star.
Wow.
How do you not have Follow the Leader by Eric B. and Rakim on your sophomore list?
Yeah.
Hey,
how do you not have Bigger and Deafer on your sophomore list?
Hey, Kendall Mathers, Goody Miles' first album, Soul Food, definitely.
Second
album, Still Standing, Follow Up. Yes. That's two of them right there.
Thank you, Kendall Mathers. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Thought Process the other day. He's on his game. Yes. Thank you.
What was Common's second album? Was that One Day It All Makes Sense? Or did he?
Yes,
or was
sir. One Day It All Makes Sense. That's a good sophomore album.
No, One Day It All Makes Sense. That's the third album.
That's the third album.
Oh, because you count.
Was one. Resurrection was two.
You're right. Yep. Resurrection. I forgot about Can I Borrow a Dollar. Always count. Yep, you're right. Good call, Jay Moore. Man, there's so many second albums. And
that's where Resurrection should be on the sophomore album list.
Yeah, probably.
X. The best ones I've heard so far that were omitted from the list was Wu-Tang Forever on the sophomore joint, and alone hit the nail on the head with Blue and Exile. Man, that's a good album, man.
I mean, and that's for Blue, not Exile, because obviously Exile was a part of... Well, I mean, that's different. I guess as a group that would be their first project.
That's a good album.
Goody Mob Soul Food.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
And Still Standing and Follow Up. Them was two heavy hitter albums right there.
Soul Food is one of my favorite albums of all time. Like, top to bottom. Like, from the intro, like, to me, the free intro for that album is one of the coldest intros I've ever heard. I don't care what.
Since we talking about LL Cool J, shit, Radio and I'm Bad.
Okay.
What about Beanie Siegel?
Hey! Yeah,
that's true.
True.
That's true.
The first two were dope. The reason and the truth.
That's a good point.
Freeway's first album was
Freeway.
Dope.
I was thinking that too. Yeah.
Philadelphia Freeways is second. Yeah, listen, I'm trying to go back. Which album was Philadelphia Freeway? That's the second one, right? Or am I tripping?
That's the first one.
Chat, somebody help me.
No, that's the first one.
Was Philadelphia? Oh, okay. That album was crazy.
Did somebody mention 400 Degrees by Juvenile?
They didn't. Nobody mentioned that one.
Definitely.
I Live Quali, High Tech, that Reflection. Reflection and Turtle. Yes, sir. Kendall Mathis is on it. That's a classic. First album.
But then are they only counting like debut albums if they got a follow up? You know, because we never got a second Black Star album.
That's fair. Right. That's
you know,
fair.
We never. We did get another Reflection Eternal album. We did get that.
It wasn't that first one though.
Another Mos Def album too though, and Black on Both Sides was hidden.
It was
Black on Both Sides, definitely. Yeah,
Black on Both Sides was hidden. That's
it's Danger. What Danger? Danger.
New Danger. New Danger.
New Danger. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Y'all named some dope albums. Shout out to the chat too, cause y'all own it, man. The Coming. You know, Soul Food from Goody Mob, those are standouts, man. Like, that's tough. I don't think we're missing anything else, but those are good suggestions. If we are,
no, I'm people positive we missing some other shit, man. There's a lot of dope shit out here, man.
Especially for those sophomore joints, man, because you know, if you go past the iconic artists, there's some dope artists out there that are still, you know, high level artists that have amazing second albums. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. That's tough. That's tough.
But and first album. There's a lot of first albums we probably missed out on too.
See?
Yeah.
Corporate Cole said Mobb Deep. That's another one.
Yeah.
No, Kendall Matthews said Mobb Deep.
What was it, Kendall Matthews?
Cole said E-40 in Amazing Way. Yep. You know, as a follow-up, definitely. Because I believe Federal was his first album.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the chat. Yeah, I got Sprint, so stop laughing, Nicole. I got Sprint. Go ahead.
I was thinking, like, I was trying to think of Odyssey. I know he's put out a ton of music, and he's done a lot of stuff as a producer, but The Beauty and All and Tangible Dream, I think it would be The Beauty and All. I think that and Tangible Dream dropped at the same time. Those are really dope albums. I think that would be a sophomore, technically.
Nah, he's a fool. Odyssey's a fool.
But I know, now we're getting specific, but
yeah,
Big Daddy Kane for your album.
Yeah, Corporate Cole, I hate Big Daddy Kane. Shout out to DJ Quick, Kendall Mathis, I see you. And Kendrick had his
diary. Was the diary a follow up to Scarface's first album?
Google is your friend. I'd have to look it up, bro. Cause we old.
I don't think the diary.
I'd have to Google it, but
yeah, because if so, yeah, the diary was definitely that joint.
We definitely on the clock, so I want to make sure we get out of here at a respectable time. Did I forget anything else? Did I forget anything before we get out of here, fellas? Anything anybody wants to say? We good?
We're good.
No, I think you get everything, Jack.
Okay, so make sure you all follow us on Twitch, subscribe, and remember, with the Amazon Prime deal, you guys can get a free subscription with us. I tried it, set it up myself. It's good to go. It's very easy to do. And also, holler at that Patreon. Become a Patreon member. We have raffles for wax, you know, no bad ideas, items, etc. So make sure you all rock with us. We appreciate you as always. I see you, Long, with the merch. I see you. And that, we appreciate you as always, and we'll see y'all next week. Stay tuned for the post show. We out.
Peace.
Later.